with more. Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. I'm Sam Bowman. This is Totality of Circumstances, a monthly show covering police oversight in Portland. My co-host Jasmine is out of town as of this recording, but for the past couple years we've been following the progress of the Police Accountability Commission as it created a new police accountability system for the city. This progress involved extensive research, holding hearings with politicians, community groups, police, and the general public, creating lengthy documents and reports, and ultimately presenting a suite of city code changes to City Council on Thursday, September 21st. This is a major milestone in the process of creating the new system, which Portlanders voted for overwhelmingly in 2020. Many members of the City Council have questioned whether or not the will of Portland voters has changed, however, whether they really want so much money and energy spent on police accountability. So, it's worth reminding ourselves how the accountability system came up for a vote in the first place. Beginning in late May of 2020, Portland saw months of ongoing protests against racism and police brutality stemming from the murder of George Floyd, often featuring violent responses from the Portland Police Bureau and other state, local, and federal law enforcement agencies. Myriad accountability issues came out of the protests, from the use and effects of police chemical munitions, to riot cops not wearing visible name badges, to countless individual acts of assault and aggression, many of which have been or continue to be the subject of litigation and formal complaints. In July, the City Council voted to place ballot measure 26217 on the November ballot. The ballot measure added language straight to the city charter, basically the city constitution, outlining a new police accountability system that was strikingly different from the current fractured one. Its proponents hoped that it would give citizens more power over the discipline and oversight processes of the city's police force. One of the major backers of the measure was then City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty. KBOO reporter Nat Moon interviewed Hardesty for the Evening News a week before the November 2020 election.
How would this newly created Civilian Police Oversight Board differ from what currently exists, what's called the Independent Police Review?
It will be as different as night and day. IPR was created under the premise that only police can hold police accountable for misconduct. This board believes that community members have an obligation to hold community police officers accountable to community standards. And so there's just no way to make IPR a community-driven process. Yes, there are civilians that work there, but primarily IAD, Internal Affairs Division, still conducts the bulk of the investigations of police misconduct. And ironically, they don't find police have done anything wrong most of the time, right? So bringing this process out of the dock into the public eye and having community members working with professional investigators will give us better results. And I think the community will trust those results, and quite frankly, good police officers should trust these results.
Again, that was former City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty speaking with KBOO's Nat Moon in October 2020. Measure 26217 passed with overwhelming support that year, 82% of Portland voters. But then things slowed down. It would be almost a year before the first meeting of the Police Accountability Commission, which will also be referred to in this show as the PAC or the PAC. Now for almost 2 years, the 20-member all-volunteer commission and its small city staff have held scores of public meetings as they shape their current proposal. While that was all going on, the situation in Portland changed too. Perceptions of livability plummeted. Visible problems like houselessness and addiction and a lack of mental health care and shuttered businesses and unaffordable housing and longer hold times for 911 and longer wait times for police response, and through and above it all, a steady drumbeat of negative headlines and social media posts and politicking, all of that added up to a change in the public discussion around police accountability when there was one at all. Measure 26217 never went back before voters, but its biggest champion, Commissioner Hardesty, did. And later on in the show, we'll hear more from her replacement, Rene Gonzalez, who has consistently positioned himself as the cop's man on the council. So here we are. In late September, the Police Accountability Commission's enormous final report and suite of code changes was presented to the City Council for approval. While the main phase of the PAC's work is done, we are at best a little way past the middle point of the process of creating the new system. Here's the Commission's project manager, Samir Kanal, giving an outline of where things go from here in response to Mayor Ted Wheeler.
Today we're taking a vote to effectively receive the report. What happens after that?
Yes, this action is simply a decision of the City Council to accept the report. Accepting the report does not mean support or opposition to the specifics of the proposal. The City Council has 60 days in which to assess the proposals and develop the city's proposals for what the city code should be, as well as settlement agreement amendments that would allow for the implementation of the Oversight Board, and send both of those on to the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. Court. Following that, the U.S. Department of Justice and U.S. Court will evaluate these proposals, and that will likely include, although I can't be 100% certain, mediation, conversations between these groups, and eventually, most likely, a fairness hearing in the U.S. Court. That process under the settlement agreement does not have a deadline for the DOJ and the court. That's not part of the settlement agreement. The deadlines are only on the city in the text. But whenever that is concluded and there is text that has been worked out through these three entities, the city, the Department of Justice, and the court, it comes back to the City Council, and the City Council has 21 days in which to approve the city code. Okay. And that starts the one-year implementation run-up period at the end of, up to 1 year, at the end of which the new system needs to be set up and able to take in complaints.
So in other words, it's going to be a minute. That was the Police Accountability Commission's staff project manager, Samir Kanal, speaking at a City Council hearing on Thursday, September 21st. Kanal doesn't mention when exactly the new system might be up and running, but other PAC documents give a rough estimate of June 2025. The current system, centered around the Independent Police Review Division, would be phased out during the same time period. Kanal also gave a bird's-eye view of the proposed new system and its powers.
In the Police Accountability Commission's proposal, the Oversight Board, named the Community Board for Police Accountability, will oversee the Office of Community-Based Police Accountability. That office will be led by a director who will hire and manage the staff needed to do the work of the oversight system. The new system will have several powers, including staff that conduct the investigations of potential misconduct affecting community members, panels of the board independently determining findings and, if needed, corrective action within approved discipline guides. The new system can issue policy recommendations to the police chief and, if needed, City Council. The system balances transparency in reporting and access generally with the confidentiality required under law, including for personal identifying information, and has meetings open to the public as well as hearings on specific cases of potential misconduct, and those are open to the public when in compliance with state law.
I mentioned earlier that Measure 26217 put the new oversight system into the city's charter, and that included several provisions designed to ensure independence from the police bureau and the ever-pitching waves of city politics. The two provisions of the charter that came in for the most criticism on Thursday, both from city commissioners and members of the public, are the prohibition on current or former members of law enforcement and their families from being on the board and staff, and the automatic minimum allocation of the equivalent of 5% of the police bureau budget to the new oversight system. In 2023, that's over $12 million. City Commissioner Dan Ryan questioned Kanal about the PAC's role in the inclusion of those two items in their final proposal, and wondered to what degree they were known to all those Portland voters way back in 2020.
I was confused about, so if you've been retired from law enforcement for 10 years, that was excluded as well?
To clarify,
so it's not from... just currently in law enforcement. It's if you've ever been involved with law enforcement, period. You could be retired for X amount of years, and that doesn't, you're not qualified, or you're not allowed to participate.
Participate in what as a board,
be on the board.
Yeah. Correct, and that's the charter language that does say former law enforcement agency employees are not eligible to serve. Okay. And that, again, that's not something that the PAC discussed. It's just the advice that the city attorney's office gave in a public meeting about what that means.
So we didn't broaden the scope of the definition. That was all in the charter that we could have seen in the voter's pamphlet?
Yes. Okay.
I think what a lot of us are, what I'm doing is, you know, 82% of Portlanders voted for this. And I do think that of those 82%, some are caught off guard by some of the details that were revealed in this report today. So that's why and my experience in life with having objectivity and insight at the table, I'll just say in education, it was really wonderful to always have like a retired teacher, retired superintendent. They were not on the clock anymore. They're not engaged with the union any longer, if you will. And they just offered such tremendous insight. So I am concerned that we don't have that perspective at the table. And I think a lot of voters were caught off guard by that. So I was questioning if we'd broaden that definition, but it was in the voters pamphlet.
Yeah, the exact quote is, people who were formerly employed by a law enforcement agency are not eligible for service on the board, end quote.
Okay.
Project manager Canal also clarified some of the details around the new board's budget, which some city commissioners and public commenters had referred to as if it were a $12 million slush fund for the new accountability board.
I will say, just because this relates to your question, Commissioner, but also to some of the public comment, that the council will need to evaluate the budget request each year. It will need to go through all the normal processes that a budget request from any bureau goes to. There's this one additional requirement in charter of a floor.
Yeah.
But it is subject to all the same scrutiny that this new bureau will be subject to audits, including by the city auditor, follow all the procurement rules, all of those things that relate to budgetary oversight that every other part of the city has to abide by. This new system would need to abide by as well.
The piece of the proposal that drew the most criticism from many public commenters and the testiest questioning from council was the broad ban on police involvement in both the civilian board and its supporting agency. Here's Mayor Wheeler referring back to the PAC's previous council hearing in May.
The last time we had a public conversation about this many weeks ago, I said legitimacy was extremely important to me. This has to be seen as a legitimate body by the community at large. And I remain, I'll say, curious / concerned about the exclusion of law enforcement from an accountability organization that is about law enforcement. In my mind, there's a disconnect that I can't quite reconcile. And so it's something I'm going to be thinking about going forward. There's a fairness issue here that I can't get around based on what I'm seeing so far. Could somebody help me make that leap? How do you reconcile that? And if you broaden that to other contexts in the community, you would see fairly quickly that it looks like an unjust system that's being created.
Police Accountability Commissioner Dan Handelman answered Wheeler's call. As a member of Portland Cop Watch since the early 90s, Handelman has closely followed the meetings of both the current police accountability system and its predecessor, the Police Internal Investigations Auditing Committee, or PIAC. PIAC existed from the early 80s until it was replaced by IPR. PIAC consisted of a 3-person subcommittee of the City Council, which voted on the recommendations of a 13-member volunteer board that reviewed investigations of the Police Internal Affairs Division. Its replacement, IPR, was housed in the City Auditor's Office from 2001 to 2022, when Auditor Mary Hall Caballero got fed up with the lack of a solid transition plan for the agency and took steps to transfer authority over it to City Council. Both systems were also heavily tied in with the work of the Police Internal Affairs Division, which currently investigates about half of the complaints taken by IPR, with IPR staff looking into the rest. Police discipline is also reviewed by a 5-member police review board consisting of 3 cops, the director of IPR, and a community member. The police review board's meetings are not open to the public, and only anonymous case summaries are ever released. Anyway, Mayor Wheeler asked what's the rationale for excluding police from the new accountability board and agency, and got answers from multiple PAC members, including Dan Handelman.
So the way the system works now, and you heard some testimony about this, is that when there's a police review board held, the person who was saying that they were harmed by the police or their loved ones are not allowed into those hearings right now, that the majority of the people on that board are police officers. And I think, as you know, in the police review board system, the training division offers an analysis of whether or not the policies and training were followed correctly. The PAC's proposal maintains that training division personnel being part of every hearing and advising the board about what the police did, whether or not what they did followed policy. That is part of the proposal for all the hearings. So all right, that helps.
All right. Thanks, Dan. I'll consider that.
Another PAC member, Catherine McDowell, detailed other ways the PAC has tried to include police expertise in the new board's work. McDowell is an attorney who has volunteered for 30 years as a legal observer with the National Lawyers Guild and the ACLU of Oregon, where she started the Legal Observer Program.
Even though we recommended against employment of police officers or former police officers on staff, we did recommend that the commission be allowed to retain those folks as experts, both for training and for purposes of pursuing cases. We also have language in there that really stresses the importance of developing working relationships with law enforcement, including an expectation that members of law enforcement, the police chief, and others would be regularly invited to board meetings and communicate informally and formally with members of the board. So I think we're envisioning that while these folks may not actually be members of the board or staff, hired as staff, we would have a professional ongoing relationship, and that was codified in our recommendations that these productive working relationships be maintained.
In response to Commissioner Ryan's question about why the PAC expanded the charter's ban on police involvement in the board to also include the agency staff, here's PAC member McDowell again.
I think we were really just trying to adhere to the language of the charter. I think the area where it was ambiguous and we sought community input was on the staff. And so that is an issue that was open. I think we went into it open-minded, sought community input, and ended up restricting police officers, but not applying that broad law enforcement definition.
In the end, the majority of council's questions on September 21st came from Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Ryan. Commissioner Mingus Mapps has often criticized the charter language around the PAC's budget and has said it should be limited in some way instead of pegged to a percentage of the police budget. But Mapps largely stayed out of the fray at the September 21st council hearing. In the end, council closed the afternoon hearing after about 3.5 hours, with all five of them voting aye to approve the PAC's final report and code changes. But they each gave a final statement that indicated how they might vote later on, and what they might try to change in the meantime. At this point, Wheeler himself has declined to run for re-election next year, but Mapps has thrown his hat into the ring for mayor, and all three remaining commissioners are potential candidates as well. Their statements on the PAC's proposal were on a spectrum, from Commissioner Carmen Rubio's cheerful positivity to the rebukes of Commissioner Rene Gonzalez.
I'm voting today to accept today's report. I think it is important we as elected officials show fidelity to the spirit of what voters approved in 2020. That is a call for police accountability. We are a far cry from November 2020, when ballot measure 26217 passed in the city of Portland. My first job as commissioner is to make sure that this city and its staff have the tools to be successful. So I want to be very clear. I will not support defunding the Portland Police Bureau. I will not support putting in place a system that makes it more difficult to recruit police officers to our city. I also will not support establishment of a system that enables witch hunts. Lady Justice is depicted in blindfolds to assure objectivity and impartiality. Exclusions of law enforcement employees and family members specifying that those who have experienced over-policing, but not those that have experienced under-policing from the Oversight Board, are but a few examples of putting fingers on the scale of abdication and the responsibility to assure objectivity and impartiality. The next 60 days are going to be time for me and my colleagues and staff to process the report before us and chart the best path forward for our city.
That's City Commissioner Renee Gonzalez. It should be noted that the PAC's proposal and the language in Measure 26217 do not defund the police, and the PAC's proposal provides for multiple advocates and avenues of appeal for both police and people making complaints against them. His remarks about fairness and the council having work to do were echoed by Commissioner Mapps in his brief remarks.
And now we enter the next phase of Portland's ongoing efforts to make sure that our public safety system is fair and accountable for everybody. So over the next 2 months, I look forward to working with my colleagues on council to move public safety reform forward here in Portland.
Commissioner Ryan didn't mince words about the near future of the PAC's proposed code changes.
Simply put, we will need to do some edits as we move forward towards implementation. Inclusion for me means offering everyone a seat at the table. For instance, the Board of a Nursing Disciplinary Committee includes a nurse. Bar associations discipline predominantly consist of current or former attorneys. Medical review boards incorporate medical professionals. I'll tell you, as a queer elder who's lived with HIV for a significant portion of my life, I've experienced and witnessed directly bias and over-policing in New York City in the 80s, in Seattle in the 90s, and yes, in Portland in the late 90s and early aughts especially. It's imperative for the vitality of the city that we all get this right for every Portlander. I have faith in my fellow council members, our staff, and I will utilize the PSC's recommendations to get this across the finish line with the DOJ. The next 60 days are going to be crucial for our work.
And as I mentioned, Commissioner Rubio was positive in her remarks about the proposal, or at least not openly critical.
Just want to say again that, voters approved the measure in 2020, and now it requires the city to stand up this new system that embodies independent judgment, centers community, and also embodies legitimacy and fairness, as you mentioned in your report. So now we have a big task ahead and 60 days to accomplish this. For me, I'll be looking to ensure that, of course, we're meeting intent while also thinking about sequencing and authority. For example, what belongs in code versus what should be up to the new commission to decide and adopt. And of course, ensuring transparency and legality and what is fair and just. As Dr. Haynes and Pastor Weisner both said earlier, this is work that's been decades in the making and deserves to be engaged with as such. So I vote aye.
The Police Accountability Commission held its last public meeting on August 31st, 3 weeks before they presented at City Council. PAC member Yume Delegado was a late addition, but he has years of experience as a volunteer in the current oversight system, serving on the Citizen Review Committee, which reviews appeals of misconduct cases. In the early part of the hearing, Delegado offered justifications for the PAC's proposal as they designed it, and he defended its integrity.
I want to be clear. The proposal before you is not, as some would say, an extremist proposal. It has been responsive to feedback from stakeholders, all of whom have spoken about the need for a better system, including this council, the PPA, and members of the current system, such as myself. And we have tried to reconcile that input soberly and deliberately into a truly just system that is fair to both community and police. When people criticize these proposals, I find it disheartening that some seem to think that only an unaccountable system of policing can provide public safety. I reject that conclusion. For too long, we have stacked the deck against ourselves and then chafed against the outcomes. And I know that I've heard members of council express that view. This must stop. At some level, this proposal is also a referendum on the value of public service. This work is one of the biggest responsibilities that we entrust to non-elected officials. And I think we underestimate how much people rise to the occasion when asked. I think we underestimated how much the Police Accountability Commission would rise to the occasion when asked. Like you, as a member of the Citizen Review Committee, I swore to uphold the Constitution and the City Charter. I'm sure you remember how you felt on the day that you swore that oath. I remember how I felt. And I've felt that weight heavy on my shoulders for the past 2.5 years. I cannot imagine that you or I would ever dream of exercising that responsibility in a biased or unfair manner. Likewise, I think it would be cynical and defeatist to assume that the people that you, this council, will choose to serve on this board will wield that authority any differently than you or I would. Thank you.
That was Police Accountability Commission member Yume Delgado speaking at the September 21st City Council hearing on the PAC's final report and proposed changes to City Council. As mentioned, the Council has 60 days from then to make such changes as they are able before their proposals are reviewed by the DOJ and a federal judge. We will continue to follow the path that the PAC's proposed system takes through this process, wherever that may lead. This has been the September show of Totality of Circumstances, which you will notice is being broadcast in October due to our own lack of accountability. We will be back on Tuesday, October 25th, and every fourth Tuesday of the month after that at 5:30 p.m., right after the KBOO Evening News. You can find this and other shows on the Totality of Circumstances page at kboo.fm, and you can find the PAC's final report and proposals at their website, portland.gov/police-accountability. I'm Sam Bowman, and my co-host is Jasmine. Have a great night, and keep supporting and listening to KBOO Portland.
This is Norman Sylvester, the boogie cat. Meow, meow. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio.
KBOO Small Membership Drive is almost over. We invite you to become a member right now by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to the number 44321. Contribute during this last week of the drive, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $14,000, thanks to the generous support of a group of donors. So hurry and join the KBOO family today and help us meet our $55,000 goal at kboo.fm/give. Together, we can do it.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud media sponsor of the Día de los Muertos celebration on Wednesday,